Yeah, we're in progress.
Got it.
So push the button and we're gonna start right away. Whoops, hold on. Can't do that because you're not getting audio. Share advanced stereo. Okay, start over.
That's, you won't hear my crunch and my chips.
Now you can hear me.
Welcome to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room Podcast.
Yeah.
We are here to podcast about anything and everything Star Wars with you. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabrkylejohansson.us. That's
down there.
RABR.
Hopefully.
KAILEJOHANSEN.US. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn
over there
how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your
it's
Android
backwards
or
over
Apple
camera.
Phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabrkylejohansen.us. And now, it's time to talk Star Wars.
Yay.
I am Kyle John Johansson, and this is Andrew Scott Sutton. Say hello.
Super duper. Hello. We got Rick. Still haven't fixed that, so Rick's on there yet, but okay, over here. Hello.
I'm still a guest.
I'll get it fixed eventually. What I'll do is redo it. Oh, look, now Chrome wants me to reboot because they got a new update. Great, thank you. So yeah, we've been having all kinds of fun troubles starting. Like I'm unprepared, like unlike usual. But today we'll be reviewing Star Wars: The Bad Batch, season 3 premiere of 3 episodes in a row. 3 in a row.
Three-peat.
Three-peat, yeah, which I don't know, that's more of a Chiefs reference than anything, isn't it?
That's all right. Go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs. Yeah, that's happened since. It's a lot happened. So I don't really have any official news, but I'm going to say a couple things in the news. I sent you guys a link. There's a announcement that The Acolyte's going to be premiering on June 5th, I think it said.
Yep, I think that's right.
Acolyte, which is the new show that's supposed to be pre all of our movies. It's supposed to be like 500 or more years before all of the movies that have been out so far. And it's supposed to be a Sith acolyte. Acolyte's what they call apprentice for the Sith. So anyway, there's that. And we've got some rumors about other shows too. We know that it's probably not going to happen for Mandalorian coming out this year. Probably going to come out next year. It'll probably take Bad Batch's spot, would be my guess. Bad Batch is in the spring. I would say Mandalorian comes out in the spring. That'd be my guess. And then there's a couple more shows that are coming out. I think the one with the short cartoons, the Visions, we should be getting another one of those. Also, I wanted you guys to notice that Bad Batch normally has 16 episodes per season. This season they have 15, and maybe that's why they gave us 3 instead of 2 this first go around. But so we've got that. And anything else you can think of, Rick? Have you found anything out there in the meta?
Not really. Ahsoka.
It's been kind of...
The season 2 has kind of just been whispered about, but not really anything concrete or finite. So I'm hoping that Mando will come back before the end of the year. But yeah, I think we're stuck with what we've got. It's going to be a lean year, I think.
Yeah, I think we'll have, so if we include the Bad Batch, I think we'll maybe have 3 to 4 shows. A couple of them are repeats of what we've seen, but you know, Acolyte's new.
Yep.
And that one kids one's supposed to have another season 2. They've had that one's been pretty popular with kids, I guess, because they're on like season 2, maybe 3 now. It's
yeah,
I guess
right.
it's simpler to produce those, I guess. They're not as scripted, let's say, ties into everything
Well,
kind
they're
of thing.
short. That does only like 12 to 15 minutes.
Yeah, they're really short.
Aren't those the short ones?
Some
Yeah.
of them are, yeah.
They'll
All
tide
right.
you over. They'll tide you over in the winter months.
Yep. All right. So that was it. The news. The news. And we have a new feature this year that we're gonna, I can't guarantee that I'll be able to keep it up because it costs me a lot of money. But we're gonna unbox some Star Wars Funko Pops. I don't know, we've always talked about these things and you've seen them in my back wall here. I've got a ton of them. And I keep getting them. And actually, I made a mistake when I was hanging the shelves and I hung the top row too high, which I've calculated if I lower it about 6 inches, I can get another row of Funko Pops across the back wall. So you can't see, well, you can. That's one, two, three, four. I've got four rows right now. I'm planning on putting a fifth row because right now, with all the ones that I've unboxed for these videos, I'm full. There's no space left on any of the shelves,
I just
except for I do have a shelf. What?
drop everything down to the wainscot and then move
Yeah.
everything down, and you got room for like two or three more shelves.
Well,
Why, if
I
you
could do that, but I'm not going to drop it below the wainscot.
want, yeah, no, right there on the edge, right there at the very top of it. Why, if you won't
Well,
care.
there's a reason it's up that high. There's
Oh, okay,
stuff around here that's up that high. But anyway,
I gotcha.
I can get another level, which will give me two walls worth. And there's a possibility I could put one over that door on this other wall that I haven't even put anything on yet. And I do have one in front of me, just one row. Well, I say that, then there's these short ones over here, but one row, and those are all Funkos that aren't Star Wars. So there's not very many of them. I'd say there's 20 of them up there, but
I'm
my
waiting
wife
for you
always.
to make things from the ceiling.
I might. My wife thinks it's stupid for me to collect these things, so she always gets me a non-Star Wars one. In
Boo.
protest. In
Boo.
protest. I got some pretty cool ones though. I've got a couple Star Trek or Star Trek ones. I've got Bill Nye. I've got Oscar the Grouch.
There you go.
I've got Doc Brown from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
I got a Mickey Mouse sorcerer. I've got a couple from Rocky and Bullwinkle show. I've got what's his name? Boris Badenoff was his name. And
Oh,
then I've got
yeah, of
Bullwinkle.
course.
Then I've got Rocky, and then I've got a some of them they're out of the box because they were like given out at a baseball game. So I've got a Kansas City hot dog one with mustard on it. I do have an Einstein one also.
Wow.
And then I've got this little bust over here that was my mom's. That's Samuel Clemens. But that was her favorite author, I think.
Yeah.
Of her, she had another one too, but it was broken or something. But anyway, besides that, so let's get this video going, and we can move on to that
Kick the
basic.
can down the
I want the application. Where's my application stuff? Share. Okay, so you can only see my video application, Rick, now.
road. Yeah, all I see is yeah.
It's me. Looks like me, but it's a different shirt. I have
I think
America.
it's a clone.
It's a clone. That's right. Yeah, there you go.
Clone.
All right, so I need to make sure that the audio is also sharing
It looks like
before
Big
I
Yeti.
can. What? Share sound. That's good. Okay, perfect. All right, let me play. I rewind it a little bit. Play. Tell me if you can hear it when it plays. No video. I broke it, Rick.
You broke the internet. What? It played and it's like frozen for me. I don't know about you.
Trying something new. There we
We're
go.
going to unbox
Hear
a
it.
bobblehead. We're not going to take it all the way out of the packaging that it comes in, for value's sake. But I have a box here on the table. We'll see it in just a second. And I'm going to open it up and we're going to pretend like it's super exciting. All right. Here we
Super
go.
exciting.
We're here.
It's
We've
a
got the
box
unboxing starting.
from Amazon,
So,
too.
yeah, let me. I was
Whoa,
always introduce my
scary
tool.
tool.
This is my letter opener. Not very sharp. Doesn't really hurt. I've stabbed myself back that once and cut myself.
But the box would
Let me
disagree.
open these up. Hopefully, these will be a better
Exactly.
openings in the future, because I've had to re-record these a couple times, so they are. But let's go. Cut
Oh.
this one open. Re-tape it nice and
Ah, it's
fine
bleeding.
there. Cut this side
Ah.
open. Look at all this. Oh, yeah. That's a good. Yeah. Set our knife down for the murder shelf, of course.
Oh,
Oh, look at
Star
that. Oh, what is. Oh, I can't tell. Oh, it's Star Wars Ahsoka 688. All right, yeah, pay attention to those numbers. Because the group or the series it's in, they all go together. They go 687, 88, 89, and so on. So look, I don't know who is that. That's the guy with a beard. Now, who could that be? It's Baylan's
Oh
goal.
no, it's Baylan's
Yay.
goal.
All right, figure there. Got his
Skull.
lightsaber.
Skull. Skull.
On the front, but look at that.
Look at that. That's
Yeah,
awesome.
a nice box, too. Nice and solid.
Hey, this is
688.
a cool stuff.
Again to the back. There's the top. He's peeking
Ooh,
at you.
he's looking at me. Stop looking at me.
That's the unboxing. Look at that. Another empty.
That was it. Okay, so let me stop sharing that. I gotta turn the audio back on so Rick can hear me play weird noises.
Excuse me.
There we go. So what did you think about that, Rick? That was
That was pretty cool.
almost professional looking, wasn't
Did you get consent from the box before you poked it?
it? No. I did not. I was unlawful consenting the box. That's fun. All right. Just a second. In preparation, I'm going to open up the second one. Future it's going to play. Yeah, I hope not. Yep. It's playing.
Had to throw in the Vikings,
Oh,
Skull,
yeah.
skull,
Skull. Yeah. I mean, he seems like he's a Viking, doesn't he? He's
kind
all rough and stuff.
of.
Kind of. All right. So that was an unboxing of one of the characters of Ahsoka. And like I said, I promised that we'll have more. I just can't promise how many more because they're like $15, $20, $30. I think one of them I got just recently was 25.
If you would like to contribute to the GoFundMe cause, the website will be posted at the end of the show.
We'll figure out a way if you want to. I actually do have a funding site that I set up a long time ago, but I've never, it's one of those ones where you can buy someone a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think it's called a KOFI coffee. Kofi.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Well,
I do have one of those set up if anybody's interested, if they do want to do that, but we've never really begged for money in
nah.
the past. So let's get into the episode, and I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to spoil some stuff if you haven't watched.
Oh. Oh,
That's why
can
you're
I
getting the beeping
continue?
sound. Spoiler.
Spoiler alert. Danger.
You're about to be spoiled.
There we go. That's been all right. So this episode, again, Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 1, named Confined. And we find out during this episode why it's called Confined, don't we? It's pretty much takes up off right where we left off from last season, I think. But so we've got a director of... yeah, these are all wrong. Rick. Yeah, that's not the right director. So let's start with what I've got on my screen. Here we go. So director is Saul Ruiz, written by Jennifer Corbett, and the editor is Matt Minichevitz. I can never say his name. He's got a strange name. The music score was, of course, done by Kevin Kinnear, and he's involved, or started listing his family that helps him out. Sean Kinnear and Deanna Kinnear also. And I've noticed that they're listed that way in all of these episodes for this season. Probably because, you know, he wants to advertise so he can get more business since Bad Batch is going away. He needs to fill that void. Right. And, okay, so all of the clone troopers we see and the Bad Batch and the voice of Batcher, which we will find out is a some sort of dog-type crazy monster thingy. Big Rottweiler, maybe. I don't know what those things are. But he's something like that. And he doesn't really talk, but he makes noises, so... good job, D. Bradley Williams or Baker, on doing that. Obviously, Crosshair was there. We've got next person would be Michelle Yang as Omega.
Omega.
It looks like D. Bradley Baker did a stormtrooper voice too. We have Jimmy Simmons, who did Dr. Royce Hemlock and another stormtrooper. Keisha Castle Hughes does Emery Carr, Dr. Carr, the lady with the glasses that almost looks like glasses Tech has.
Omega's sister.
Tad. Okay, yeah, sister. They're all brothers and sisters. That's how she tries to persuade her, is to convince her the family.
Spoiler!
Oh, yeah, we got to push the weather right now. No, we don't. John Lipfo did an Imperial Technician. He did a robot K9X1 and a Stormtrooper pilot, one of the pilots that got into a X-Wing, as a matter of fact. Not an X-Wing, TIE Fighter.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have Gwendolyn Yeoh, who played Nala Se, our very tall, weird alien creature. And let's see, anything else interesting on here? Those are all interesting, but they're not relevant for us, right? I think
we had Hunter and
not in this episode, did we?
Oh no, yeah, no,
we didn't have him in this episode. This was all Crosshair and Omega. Yeah. Okay. So those are the cast and crew. Scorch was in there. Scorch is one of those stormtroopers that have the green lenses. Mm-hmm. He's a particular one. He's one of the head ones. I think he guards Hemlock mostly.
I was gonna say he's the one that's with Hemlock.
Yeah. So we're going to play a commercial, and I want to say before I do that I'm open to any ideas for new commercials. So, you know, we're doing Bad Batch. Maybe there's something we can do for the Bad Batch. So let me know, Rick or Scott, if you're listening, or anybody who's out there listening.
Feedback.
Hopefully. I mean, I've been advertising our starting back up on some different platforms lately, and we've got some new people, but, you know, who knows what they're they're actually listening. They're just reading my comments and deleting them. I don't know. Anyway, so let's play a commercial real quick. It's going to be Aaron's.
Hey, you over there. Are you a trooper? Is your armor always dirty? When do you find time to clean it? Did rebel scum scratch and damage it? Does your helmet communications keep acting up? Stop by Aaron's Armor Sparkalorium. Before 1500 hours, we will wash, clean, and sanitize your armor for the next day pickup. Our patented galactically ancient secret cleaning techniques will have your armor sparkling just like a new Cerulean Y-1300 freighter just off the assembly line. You'll be the envy of all your friends and co-workers, from the castles on Lothal to the politicians on Coruscant to the environmentalists on Endor. For your next day service, stop by Aaron's Armor Sparkalorium. We are located at Tatooine's Mos Eisley Spaceport, directly across from Hangar 35.
35.
We will also repair and sell most parts at the best rates in the known galaxy. All services guaranteed and licensed by the Emperor himself to last a lifetime, only at Aaron's Armor Sparkalorium.
Tell you right now, you better...
Helmets and boots are services are extra.
Oh, I got the disclaimer. Tell you right now, though, you better hurry up and get in there, because I don't think Aaron realizes it, but he's probably going to go out of business in a couple of years. No more stormtroopers.
He's going to have a fire sale eventually.
Exactly. So get in there while you can. All right. So what that means is we're going to restate what the episode is. Bad Batch, Season 3, Episode 1, Confined. Originally aired on Wednesday, February 21st. Star Wars Wednesday. The running time for this particular episode was 29 minutes and 21 seconds. And we're still playing in the timeline of 18 to 19 before the Battle of Yavin, which I always say before the Battle of Yavin is when the first Death Star blew up. Because the Battle of Yavin is when that happened. Anyway, that means it's time to grab your favorite beverage, pull up a chair, and join us in the Rebel Alliance briefing room. Yay. Yay. All right. So we get started with our episode. Enough with the cheering already. Jeez, go back to your phones. The Imperial Shuttle 135 approaches the Tannis base on Wayland. And that's, you know, we've learned from the previous episode, that's the location where the Empire is continuing the cloning that was going on the place where Omega and everybody originated from. The TK trooper flying the shuttle communicates with the base traffic control, who gives him permission to land. While descending the planet's atmosphere, the shuttle is struck by lightning, causing it to short circuit and crash into the jungle. The stormtroopers survive the landing, with TK-343 attempting to contact the base. One of the stormtroopers warns about wild beasts, but another reassures his comrades that the Lucra hounds are out. The Lucra hounds are out. That's what we talked about Batcher earlier. That's what they call the Batchers, a Lucra hound. The other stormtrooper responds that the hounds don't operate this far out, partially because they're whatever else is out there in the jungle is going to eat those things. Back at the Tannis base, Dr. Royce Hemlock asks why the shuttle has not arrived. And he hears a stormtrooper fending off wild beasts. So they're monitoring the comm traffic of these stormtroopers that crash. And Hemlock rules out sending reinforcements, because by the time they get there, they're going to be dead anyway, basically. He deems them as good as dead. Later in the morning, Omega looks outside the grills of her cell at the surrounding mountains. Water drops from the tap in her basement, and her sister, Emery, visits her. When Omega protests that she is a prisoner, Carr says that there is no such thing and reassures her that she will acclimate. She will comply. Carr claims that it is far safer on Mount Tanis than outside the base. Carr tells Omega to follow her since they have much to do today.
Much
Lots
to
of
do.
Chores. While walking the corridor, Omega walks past several imprisoned former clone troopers, including a dejected Crosshair. He's probably ignoring her on purpose. Who are guarded by Imperial Royal Guards. Inside a ward, Omega watches as Carr collects blood samples from clone troopers. Carr requests that Omega let her collect her blood as well. When Omega asks why, Carr responds that all of them serve a purpose and claims it won't hurt. Omega reluctantly climbs into her chair and asks Carr if she knows where her brothers are. And Carr replies, she does not know. She may know, but she doesn't want to tell it. I don't know.
It's top secret.
Top secret, yeah. She doesn't have clearance. When Omega asks why she never saw Carr on Kamino, Carr replies that she was sent elsewhere until Dr. Hemlock took her under her wing. She explains that Hemlock saw potential in her, much like Nalase saw potential in Omega. Omega says she never knew that she had a sister and is relieved she is not alone. So she's got more than one girl to talk to, I guess.
Oh, power.
Talk about periods and stuff. After Carr collects the blood sample, so to speak, she sends Omega with the test tubes containing the blood samples to Nala Se in the laboratory. On the way to the lab, Omega walks past an RA-7 protocol droid. Outside the lab, the two Imperial Royal Guards let her in. She steps in a secondary chamber where she is scanned by a scanner system. I guess making sure she doesn't have any weapons, huh? Yeah, it was like a cross thing. It was like a came from four sides into the center, I guess, to
it's kind of weird.
Probe your body with poison, probably, huh? Inside, Nala Se and several droids deposit samples into various machines. Nala Se thanks Omega for bringing the blood samples and asks Omega if her blood sample was taken also. When Omega confirms that was the case, Nala Se discards the sample in the rubbish bin and tells Omega to keep this a secret, adding it is safer that way. It's much safer that way. She got such a soft, quiet voice the whole time. You can barely understand her when she talks, but anyway. When Omega asks about the research, Nala Se responds that it is different from the clone trooper program on Kamino. When Omega asks why she was brought here, Nala Se reveals that Omega was brought here to ensure her compliance. She explains that the Empire seeks the reproduction of the genetic M count, but experiments on the specimens haven't revealed a desired result. And I want to say, M count means midichlorian count, which is what people, the more you have, the stronger you are on the force, right?
Yep.
Nala Se clarifies that the specimens are not clones. The two are soon joined by Dr. Hemlock and an Imperial Guard. Hemlock expresses hope that Omega's presence will strengthen her work. Yeah. Get her
Maybe.
To get to work and do it already.
Yeah.
Hemlock asks Nala Se to accompany him to the vault. Nala Se tells Omega to stay behind and complete her tasks. One of the scanner matches a sample, and the vault is heavily guarded by several armed Imperial Guards and a secondary red scanner system. That we're talking about the vault where they're taking Nala Se. Okay.
Yeah.
Omega serves biscuits to the Lorca hounds who are kept inside pens. The sentry droid K9X1 presses a button on a panel, which activates a Lorca hound outside. Omega secretly attends to her pet Lorca Batcher, who somehow they've turned into a cute little doggy or something, who refuses to eat biscuits. He's not feeling very good for some reason. Omega shares some of her food, which, you know, people food is always better than dog food, yeah, right? Exactly. Badger is willing to eat it. Omega promises to bring more the following day. Omega exits the pens and walks through the corridors, which lead to several cells where the clone troopers are held. Taking advantage of the absence of sentries, Omega visits Crosshair in his cell. Crosshair warns her not to escape, since he's tried many times before. When Omega suggests that she can trust Emery, Crosshair counters that not every clone is their ally. When Crosshair remarks that she is too trusting, Omega remarks that he doesn't trust enough, and Crosshair warns her to leave for her safety. Omega resolves to find a way to escape Mount Tanis. Back in her cell, Omega scratches a new line on the wall that's towards the window, it looks like. And then she kind of dusts it off to make it look pretty. After packing some food away, she holds her Tuca doll while gazing at the moon. And you don't realize that she's collecting the hay from the Lorca pens, and she actually made that doll from the hay, if you look at it closely. Because she didn't have one before that, if you notice. It was just then, at that time, she pulled it out of her case. It was the first time we saw it. Then she places it back inside of her case, and as routine, Emery Carr visits Omega and escorts her to the cell. This is the next day, I would assume. Walking through the corridor, she sees Crosshair and other clones again, being escorted by troopers. As before, Carr collects the blood, but Nala Se secretly disposes of the sample again. Later at the Lorca Kennels, she discovers Batcher is nursing it looks like a pretty big wound on his arm. Omega reports this to the K9X1, who explains that LH201, which is Batcher's designation, sustains injuries while out on patrol last night. If her wounds do not heal, he explains she will be terminated. That's sad. Omega gets sad. When Omega asks him to treat her, the droid responds that he is not a medical droid, is not programmed to treat wounds. Badger whimpers in pain. Omega borrows a cleansing tool from the first aid kit and convinces Batcher to let her treat her. Looks like she found that tool had some of that Bacta stuff on it. She scrubs that on there pretty good.
Good and stuff.
Suddenly he's a couple days later, he's all better. At least we'll see. Omega later recounts the incident to Crosshair when she's visiting him again. And she's not supposed to. Omega talks about stealing a med pack to treat Batcher. Crosshair tells her to stop wasting time on lost causes. If she wants to escape, she needs to focus on that. Omega refuses to abandon Crosshair, but replies that if he had the opportunity to escape, he would not think twice about abandoning her. So he would leave without her, which is probably true. But maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not so much. She's just trying to get him to leave him there because he's going to die anyway or something stupid, right?
She's trying to motivate him.
Omega says Crosshair is her brother, and she disagrees. Omega refuses to abandon Crosshair. Before leaving, he tells her not to risk anything for her because he belongs here. So he thinks he's done a lot of bad things and needs to be in jail.
Yeah.
Probably true. He did a lot of bad things for the Empire.
He did.
Later in the day, Omega is subject to a surprise inspection by Imperial commandos who rummage through her belongings. Omega tries to hide her Tuca doll, but Kara explains that this is standard procedure. One of the commando snatches up her Toka doll from her hand, and Kara reminds Omega that they are not allowed personal items and says she will dispose of it. She then ushers Omega away for her work duties. Meanwhile, Nala Se reports progress to Dr. Hemlock, who is displeased that the M count is severely diminishing in progress. He warns that if they do not match the M count of the specimen, it will be deemed a failure. He warns that failure will lead him to revisit privileges afforded to Omega. So he's going to torture Omega or something. Hemlock warns her about consequences of delaying progress. Nala Se claims loyalty to science, but the doctor warns that the Emperor is not as patient as he is. That dang Emperor is never as patient, is he? Wasn't that one of the lines in one of the movies, too?
Yeah, I think so.
It was when the Death Star was being built. Yeah, it was, what's his name? The Grand Moff that was on the Death Star. We saw him mostly talk about it in, golly, that movie that everybody died in, right?
Oh, Rogue One.
That's it. That one.
Everybody, I was thinking Star Trek on like one of the Star Destroyer's decks or something on the bridge.
He says that at one time.
The Emperor is not as patient as I am or something.
Yeah, one of the guys reported to him. One of the generals reported something to him, and he didn't like it, but he said the Emperor is not as willing to accept these things in his life.
Yeah.
Anyway. Tarkin, that's his name. Remember in one of the previous episodes of Bad Batch, we had the tower where Tarkin was having the meetings and stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Inside the pens, Omega is relieved that Batcher's wound is healing. However, K9 X1 informs Omega that Batcher has been slated for termination anyway. Since she recently domesticated him, he has been deemed a liability. As the droid drags her away, Omega says that Batcher is not at fault, but the droid insists on following protocol. She snatches the data pad from the droid and issues a secret alert before activating his electrostat. Omega uses the data pad to cause the cage to crash on top of X91 or K9X1, whatever. So he's the K9 transferred one. I don't know. K9 unit. She then hits the droid in the head with a stolen electrostat and uses the data pad to unlock the external chute for Badger's kennel. After removing her control collar, she tells the hound to run. Omega tells Batcher she can go with her. She can't go with her because she has to rescue Crosshair first.
It'll be later. I'll come meet you.
Yeah. We're getting close. Omega soon is cornered by Dr. Hemlock and Emery Carr. Uh-oh. Dun-dun-dun.
Busted.
Hemlock chides her for releasing a weak Lorca hound and accuses her of being cruel. Because, you know, the outside stuff's going to kill him. Maybe. We'll see. When Omega counters that they're going to terminate Badger, Hemlock explains that the passengers of the Imperial Shuttle a few rotations ago were killed by wild beasts, which are more formidable than the Lorca hounds. So these things are scary sons of bitches, I guess.
They're big creatures. Bad creatures.
Yeah, well, I mean, apparently, and we'll see, I'm not trying to spoil, but apparently all the failed attempts, they just throw them out in the woods. So whatever they're working on and it doesn't work out right, they just go throw them wild. And they're pretty bad. Hemlock says that Omega's domestication of LH-201 only made her vulnerable. When Omega counters that Batcher deserves a chance. Hemlock mocks her idealism and says that emotion and sentiment have no place within these walls because we're all soldiers, you know, something. Dum dum. We all do whatever the Emperor says because we're robots. When Omega protests, Carr attempts to defuse the situation by escorting Omega back to her room. Hemlock asks Omega if she has more to say, and Omega reveals that she knows that Hemlock brought her here as a hostage to keep Nala Se in line. When Omega says that he will not dare hurt her, Hemlock agrees but warns her misbehavior will endanger Crosshair.
Oh.
So he's got something for her and for Nala Se. So.
Rats always work.
Darn it. While he plans to rebuild the... I said hillbilly there. While he plans to rehabilitate Crosshair, Hemlock warns that they will terminate him if her misbehavior continues. After warning Omega of actions have consequences, Hemlock orders Carr to escort Omega back to her room and restrict her access. She doesn't get out. Nobody gets out.
I was going to say, what access does she have? She's like in a cage when she's not working, and she's with the Lurka Hounds. That's part of her job.
She has no access, except to Nala Se's lab, but she doesn't have direct access. She has to be escorted there, right?
Yeah.
Omega sits cross-legged inside her cell and sulks. Carr attempts to speak to her, but she tells her to go away. As a reconciliatory gesture, Carr returns her Toka doll. Omega hears Batcher howling in the distance. Batcher rummages through the wreckage of the crash of the Imperial Shuttle. And then we see credits. I can't do the credits very well, but we see credits, and that's it. Episode over.
Dum dum.
Dun, 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 dun. So, what we want to do is we want to get all of your feedback. That's right, feedback. We want all of your feedback. And there's many ways you can do that. Anything about this episode or any future episodes, send an email to feedback@kylejohansson.us. There should be probably a link down below. And there'll be a feedback link on the website on the left-hand side, like we keep saying on the... Oh, it's on that side. We keep saying them in the beginning and the end here. We have a Twitter account where you can send us... it's X now. Never mind. It's Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. @super_duper_pod. Send us a message, comments, whatever you want there. We are on Blue Sky, which has been pretty good to us so far. And that is @Rebel Alliance Briefing Room, all one word. And we'll have some videos up on YouTube later. You can comment on those videos. All of these audio podcasts are videos. And now you can see you can hear the audio versions and the video versions on YouTube. They're now consolidating that stuff. Before you had to go to Google Podcasts or whatever to listen to them. Now you can go to our YouTube channel and see both. Or hear and see both, let's say. Okay? Well, Rick, what do you have? Any comments about the episode that we just watched?
It was good. It was a great introduction into Season 3.
I thought it was pretty good. I could tell exactly where they're leading to, though. You know, this show's never been hard to figure out, but
Yeah.
You can tell what's going on. I mean, one of my predictions is going to be that we're going to spend the first few episodes, probably past episode number 3, reuniting with the rest of the crew, right?
Oh, for sure. That's happening.
We know, as we'll see in the next episode, Hunter and the big guy are out there looking for him. And the other one, he's off doing good deeds or whatever.
Echo tracks.
Echo is off doing good deeds, which they don't really talk about that then, but we know from previous seasons that that's what he's doing. He'll come in every once in a while, I would expect. I'm sure once Omega is joined back with the crew, they're going to meet up with Echo and, you know, have a big old, you know, cry fest or something. But I would say that half of it's that, and then the rest of the half is, I don't know, doing something to avenge for Crosshair.
Getting back for Tech, the only thing I noticed that we didn't mention was, like, in her windowsill, she's keeping track of time. I know you said at the beginning, but towards the end, you can definitely see that there is a lot of days that have passed. Like, she's keeping track of these tally marks, so...
Quite a few tally marks. Yeah, there's at least a couple months, maybe longer.
I've been there for a while.
We noticed, I think...
Reminded me of Groundhog. It was like every day was the same for her. She got up. We had things to do. She got blood. She went to Nalase. She fed the Lurkas. She came back to her room. You know, it was like just wash, rinse, repeat.
Same boring routine.
Yeah.
And we'll notice going forward that if you pay attention, her hair does get longer. She starts putting it up in a ponytail a little bit. Which she did in previous seasons too, but this is it's a little rattier, I would say, going forward. We kind of saw that at the end of the episode. Her hair was getting a little bit longer. So she's going to be a rough and tough, more rough and tougher than before. You know, she doesn't have that little emblem she used to, necklace thing she used to do around her head on her forehead anymore. Probably because it got taken away.
Personal item.
Yeah, it's a personal item. But that's same with me. That's all I see. Hopefully some people out there will see something we didn't see, or tell us we said something wrong. You know, make fun of me not being able to talk, whatever it is. Send us some feedback. And if you don't have anything else, Rick, I'm going to push the...
Omega.
You don't have anything else? I'm going to push the outro button and get ready for the next episode.
Sounds good, man.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room Podcast. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabr.kylejohansson.us. That's rabr.kylejohansson.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kylejohansson.us. This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms LTD,
not at all,
Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. All opinions are solely owned by Kyle and or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of their past or present employers.
Some of them are rich
views
too.
And opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms, LTD, Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or any or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited. Completely prohibited. I am Kyle John Hanson, and this is Andrew Scott Sutton. Say
no
goodbye
Andrew.
Now.
No Andrew. Rick today. Andrew's got some family stuff he's dealing with, so hopefully we'll see him soon. Not at least in the next couple episodes of the podcast, but soon. Anything else, Rick? Can we say goodbye here? Bye-bye. Yep. We're going to give